Is there anybody here that's been through the fire? Amen. Is there anybody that's had loss of hope at times? Found him faithful. Anybody ever thought like you couldn't make it? Then found him to be right there in the middle of your storm. Found at times that you couldn't see him. He could see you. Hallelujah. I'm glad that though there's times that the clouds of adversity hang low, I'm glad that God's never left us. My, what powerful singing tonight. I appreciate that song. Don't you appreciate all the effort that the worship leaders and the singers have done here this week? Give them a good hand. We know we give the glory to God, but I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know how much of a blessing that this is until you don't have it. And that's when it seems to be that we get real thankful for it and wish we could experience it when it's no longer there. But I appreciate all the effort that's been put forth and the good singing, the wonderful drama that was here tonight. If you didn't have a tear in your eye at the end of that, I don't know what's wrong with you. But I'm telling you, it was wonderful tonight. All the things that was done here tonight, all the effort that's been put forth. How about Brother Donnie Goodwin? Hasn't he done a good job heading this up? What a man of God. We appreciate him, appreciate his family, all the effort that they put forth. I know that there's so many people, and if I started naming names, Brother Lucas Sweeney does so much behind the scenes, and there's so much that the Goodwin family in general and others, the Tom family, and so many, they just put their heart and their soul into it. And what's a privilege about preaching to the youth here at Truth Camp is that by the time they get here and get through the years of Brother Benny and Sister Brenda Torbett, they've already been taught to worship, and they know how to worship God and how to get in and sing, and they're wonderful people. They've been a blessing to us, and we appreciate Brother and Sister Torbett. Amen. Hallelujah. It's our privilege to get to be here this year, and I appreciate the opportunity. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 31, I want to do something tonight. I want us just to allow our minds just for a few moments. Don't draw a conclusion right away. I'm a preacher, and I'm going to tell you, that's probably the hardest thing in the world for a preacher to do, is just immediately draw a conclusion when you hear the subject matter, feel like you know where it's going. But let's stay together on this for just a few minutes tonight. I want to just deal with a subject that I think that has been many times been mismanaged. There's sometimes that there's good things within the Word of God that's got a bad rap. How many understand that? There's things that are necessary, things that God put there for our good, but because of what other individuals have personally attached to it, it's almost become off limits and something we don't want to talk about. But I believe the Lord's going to help us tonight. I don't want to just go ahead and preach without saying how much I appreciate what Brother and Sister Byerly have done during Straight Talk. If you've enjoyed that, go ahead and clap for them as well. I know that sometimes it's not always comfortable talking straight and talking clear, but I'd much rather hear the facts of life coming from a man and woman of God than from some pervert. And somebody with a warped, messed up mind that doesn't even believe in God. I'm thankful for the good things that we have heard and received this week. Amen. Exodus chapter 31, if you're there tonight, just say amen. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18, just one verse of Scripture. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. The Bible says, "And he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." I want to read this one more time because I want you to really understand, young people, that Moses isn't up there just having a chat with anybody. But there's nothing that he could ask that there would not be an educated, full of wisdom answer that would come as a response. He's talking to God. And God is communing with him. And God gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai. Two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now just picture this before you sit down. Just Moses and God receiving the original seeds that would take root and grow the natural plants that would in turn produce a self-sustained gospel for every generation that would produce in its season. It's indestructible. What you and I have right here tonight cannot be done away with because it has an eternal origin. It didn't start on Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. It wasn't something that just begun here on earth. But the Bible declares and speaks of itself in Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, never to be debated on. I will say it again. This is not Moses and the Truth Camp Board. Wasn't seven deacons up there. There wasn't a few trustees and a group of men that said, hey, let's vote on this and see if it's right or not. Just Moses and God. God giving Moses specific instruction. I want to talk about a subject that has been slandered. Theories and opinions has tried to custom fit this word, but I've come to let us know as a group and a body, this word is one size fits all. This word is holiness. Can I say this tonight? We are a Pentecostal camp. Thank God for what he did in the upper room and that he ain't stopped doing it and it's still being done today. But before we were Pentecostal, we were holy. You can't be Pentecostal without first being holy. I can see it. The deer in the head looks, deer in the headlight look in several people's eye. What are you about to talk about? Here's what I'm going to promise you tonight. My dad told me a long time ago, son, everybody's got opinions. And opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple. And if you don't clean them, they're going to stink. So tonight, I'm going to promise you something. I'm not going to give you my opinion. It's not what I'm here to do tonight. I'm going to give you what thus saith the word of God. So if the Lord would help me tonight, and I believe he's going to, because the devil's been fighting some of you even here today, the last day of Truth Camp. I've had young people come up to me and say, the devil has fought me today. Young people. Others that have confided in different ones. Hey, the devil's fighting. But can I tell you, I believe that God has got victory in this place. And the reason the devil's fighting is because he's afraid of what might happen next in your life if you'll just hold on to what you got. So if God will help me preach for just a little while tonight, I want to preach upon this subject, organic holiness. No additives. No preservatives. Not my opinion. Not what I think. Just raw, good old, all natural holiness. Will y'all stay with me a few minutes tonight? Where's my all natural fruit? I want you to go ahead and bring it up. We're getting ready to pray. Would you raise your hands tonight? We're going to ask God to move in this place. God, I love you. I thank you for what we already feel in this house. God, that you are faithful, that you are the I am. God, that you have once and time again come through and showed us and proved to us not just that you're able, but that you love us. God, we thank you that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from you, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. I pray tonight, God, that you would take this word that you have laid upon my heart so heavily and anoint me tonight, God, bring it to a level that every mind would comprehend. comprehend and that every heart would understand. God, I pray that you'd move mostly around these altars. Let lives be made pure, be made holy, and be made clean. God, help us to leave this place not to be ashamed and to be identified with who we are, but to stand up and to declare to the world that we know that we have been made clean, holy, and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Move among us. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you do. We thank you for it. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but they've brought something up here. These are grapes. You don't buy these in a can. Grapes are something that you get off of a vine. I want you to just hang with me for a moment. I know that probably in the day that I live in now, and it's probably the last thing on our mind at youth camp, but how many have either said this or have heard somebody say this in the last 3 months? I'm going to start eating healthy. Man, I got to change my habits. I'm going to start doing things right. I'm going to say no to the ice cream and the chocolate and yes to the fruit and the vegetables. But I've heard this a lot. I've heard a lot of individuals talk about just going all organic. They want to go natural. And it almost seems the yuppie idea of the day that I'm not eating that if it's not organic. I started stirring it up in my mind and started thinking about this. And so I looked at organic. Organic just simply means this: to be grown or made without the use of artificial chemicals. All natural. Let me tell you something. I started looking at, I found out that you and I live in a nation that we are very, very big on making sure that everybody gets something to eat before they go to bed. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a nation where it seems like food is plenteous. But at the same time, because of all the individuals that are continually coming across our borders and into this land, I find that many times because of supply and demand, we are using things that we would not typically use to enhance and to create something to grow faster than what it typically would. I know that many times that we begin to try to eat healthy things like chicken breasts. And I've many times, even myself, said no to a steak and got a chicken breast, a grilled chicken breast, because I thought it was better. And I find out after I read a little bit that all of the steroids and everything that they're putting in these things, that you get a baby chicken and then in about 4 days it's full grown and goes to the butcher. Not quite that quick, but it's about that way. They are feeding these things unbelievable steroids and making them grow in an unusual manner. But I find that it's not just our meat that is being injected in. It's giving us diseases like cancer. But I find that also our good-for-you stuff, fruits and vegetables, are being sprayed down with pesticides and insecticides and all of these things that we are trying to mass produce because of all the individuals that we want to make sure get fed. We want to make sure that they eat. We are trying to make sure that these bugs don't tear it up, that this don't mess it up. But we're beginning to find out that the problem is many times the sprays and the chemicals that we're putting on them is worse than the actual bug itself. Can I just say this tonight? I feel like some of the things that we have done to prevent the gospel from being messed up, to try to keep the gospel as true to itself as it can be, some of the additives that I am hearing preached in this day to the word, I just want to simply say this. The word of God says itself that if you add to or if you take away, it is the same penalty. I'm hearing silly stuff preached about what color you wear. Can I just say this tonight, that pink doesn't make you a woman any more than blue makes you a man. And I'm not saying that tonight because I'm wearing a pink shirt. That's not what it has to do with. But I've heard it preached that if you wear something pink, well, you must have an effeminate spirit. Now, if you got an effeminate spirit, you got a demon on the inside, and ain't got nothing to do with just the color you're wearing. It has everything to do with what's going on in your heart.
If it were the case that men that wear pink are effeminate, then women that wear blue would be butch. And that's just silly, stupid thinking. There's no real theology in that. But I've heard a lot of goofy stuff preached. I've heard things said, according to the types of shoes that you wear, the side of hair that you part your hair on. There's all kinds of things being preached as doctrine in the day that we live in. But I've come to let you know that the fact is that what is all natural is still what is best for you. In its rawest state, that's where you will get the most nutrients out of this. Can I tell you that there are some things that there is nothing you can do to improve upon them? I'm going to enlist a little bit of help from some of the elders tonight. Some of you young people don't know nothing about this, but when you grow your own green beans and you pick them yourself and you string them things and cook them, they taste better than anything else in this world. Get old beans and taters that come straight up out of the ground. You're not going to get any better eating than that. Just straight up out of the ground, not out of a can, not something that's been preserved, not something that's been kept for the use of trying to preserve it for later. Some things are just better served fresh. But can I just simply declare this to you tonight, that there are things spiritually that cannot be improved upon. You cannot improve upon salvation. You cannot improve upon the grace of God. You cannot improve upon things such as righteousness. You cannot improve on things such as perfect peace. Can I tell you that these things are the best when they are served fresh and when they are served natural, when it's not something that you've got to just tell somebody what they've got to do, but they feel the conviction of God themselves begin to deal with their life. All of a sudden they step into a new realm of worship, and I find that the salvation that works the best is the kind that gets up on their own accord, walks down to the altar and says, I'm here because I felt something inside of me, not because somebody told me, not because somebody came and dragged me, not because somebody tapped me on the shoulder, but because I received something all natural myself from a God that cares enough to reach to where I am and let me know that He still cares about my life. Can I tell you, as a new generation, some good news? The best news about these things that you cannot improve upon is that there is no shortage on them because of supply and demand. We don't have to hold on to the revival that we get here and try to preserve and take it home. No, can I tell you, the same God that pours out His Spirit at Truth Camp is the same God that will pour out His Spirit on you when you give to your church, to your prospective home, to your own prayer closet. If there's anybody that knows tonight that you're somebody that is a recipient of an answered prayer, not because of somebody else, not because of a group of people, but because of your own mouth being open and uttered to a God that heard you with His own ears, why don't you raise a hand and say, I know for myself that He answers prayer, that He's real, that He's able, that He can deliver and still do the miraculous in the day in which we live now. Now imagine this just for a moment. Imagine receiving instruction straight from the source, not from a disciple or an apostle. Now, I would say this, if we had a sign and we could really legitimately put it up, hey, Paul the apostle is going to be here preaching tonight, we'd have to go to the next building. Because if the legitimate Paul was here, there'd be people from all over want to come hear him. It's true. If we could bring back Peter from the dead and let him preach to us, we'd have a bigger crowd. For some of you, if Bishop T.D. Jakes was here, we'd have to go somewhere else, bigger room. But can I ask you this? What does it feel like to just bypass all of that all together. Now I want you to hear me. I understand that God gave gifts to the church, and I will never take away from the office that God gave the preacher. Thank God for the message we heard the other morning from Brother Mark Sweeney, that there is a necessity that we put the trumpet to our mouth and we blow it with all of our mouth, all of our might. There is a necessity of good men and women of God to stand up and declare, teach the young people that there is still a word that we must abide by. But can I declare to you that that will never take the place of an individual communication and relationship with God. I know I touched on this just a moment last night, but I feel all day long, God's been laying this on me, because I look around at some of you, and some of you don't get to go home and go to a good pastor like Brother Donnie Goodwin. Some of you may not have a Brother Benny Torbett or Brother Tom or Brother Tom Goodwin. You may not have that privilege or opportunity, but can I declare to you that when there's not a man and there's not somebody in your life that can just simply give you a doctrine that you can stand by, you need to find a church. You need somebody that will declare to you the truth. But more than you need anything else, you need to get down on your prayer bones and know that there is a God in heaven that will do for you just what he did for Moses. Wouldn't that be a wonderful feeling, young people, to just bypass the middleman at times in your life when you've got a need that's so heavy that you don't feel like you can go any further, and just get down on your knees and say, oh God, would you just give me an answer to this question in my mind that I can't seem to find the answer to? I've come to let you know that you can. According to the word of God, Jeremiah 33:3 still says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm going to say it again. Call unto me, not to me as a preacher, not to anybody on the board, but you can call on the Holy Ghost hotline and you can talk to Jesus at any time and know that he that you call on will in turn talk back to you. How many still believe that he speaks to us, that he's able, and that he wants to commune with you and I in this generation? Not taking away from ministry, but I'm saying this tonight with all honesty. Ministry in many places has perverted this gospel that we preach. No additives, no preservatives, no slant, no artificial flavors or chemicals, just the nitty-gritty, the untainted, good old all-natural, raw truth that produces the quality or the state of being holy. Not to dress it up or to dress it down, not to make it magical or fictional or unattainable, but to preach the absolute necessity of this subject. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Why is it we become so ashamed to talk about this word? Why is it that we get so worried when somebody starts talking about holiness? Because we immediately think that they're going to address certain things in our life. Can I tell you, there are times when it is the pastor's right and it is what he's got to do to sometimes lay out to you the difference between the wrong and the right. But can I also utterly declare to you that there ought to be enough in you that says, no, I want to know from you, what do you want me to be? God, I want to be holy. I don't want to just be accepted in the church. I don't want just everybody to think that I'm saved. I don't want everybody just to think that I'm okay. I don't want to just be accepted in social circles. I want to know that when I stand before you all by myself, if I can't get anybody else to pray, I know that I can step into your presence and I can see you, because you have made me holy by the blood of your crucified son. Where does this holiness come from? If we can't see the Lord without holiness,
How many want to be holy? I want to see him. We've sung all night about going to heaven, seeing the I am. You ain't going to see him any old way. Let me go ahead and get good and quiet tonight. It doesn't bother me, okay? I preach in churches all over that are quiet as church mouse. Some would just paint an old picture of some old domineering church boss in your face, okay? I'm going to just preach to you like I'm preaching to them, all right? Holiness is the standard and the requirement of Almighty God. It's not because of me. It's not because of what somebody says. It's because the Lord is holy and he requires holiness. Where does it come from? It all began, let me say it again, not with a board somewhere, not with the assemblies of God, not with the church of God. There was no original church group, not just the apostles. You can date it all the way back to the prehistoric times. You will find that even though Abraham was one that was a friend of God, it didn't begin with Abraham, but the holiness that you and I are required to live by, it began with a holy Trinity which had three board members: a holy God, a holy Son, and a Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A holy God, a holy Son, holy Father, holy Son, and a Holy Ghost. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There are preachers that will preach you things and require things of you that they're not even capable of themselves. But I've come to let you know that the God that requires holiness of us is requiring it because that is what he is. We serve a holy, perfect, righteous, hallelujah, God that sits high and looks low. I find, listen to me, young people, that holiness is a doctrine, but not just a doctrine. It comes with an attire, but it is not just an attire. What is holiness? Holiness is a state of being. What's the best way to describe it? Holiness is the absence of sin. Holiness is the absence of sin. I'm asking you, are you holy? Are you absent of all sin in your life? God made a way so that those who are unholy could step in the blood of his Son. Those that were dastardly, those that were horrible, those that were worse than the worst, but they can become the best of the best. Sauls can become Pauls when they step through the blood of the Son, and they're no longer unrighteous, but they become holy. Holy. They become holy according to the standard of an almighty God. You can teach it as a doctrine and still be sinful. I told you I'm not adding my opinion, but I will state some others. I've heard people say, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's a difference between personal convictions and standards that come out of this holy word. Now, this is going to be controversial, but I don't know if I'll get invited back next year. It was God's grace that I got here this year. I know it's not my good preaching, so I'm going to just preach what God put on my heart, okay? There's some people that won't go in a place that serves alcohol. God bless them. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe that Christians belong in bars. Man, why is it so quiet? Some of y'all sip a few before you came in? Christians don't belong in bars. But if you go in a restaurant that serves alcohol, I don't believe that God's going to send you to hell because they serve alcohol at that establishment.
We need to abstain from the appearance of evil. It'd be good if we could make every county dry. It'd be great if we could make every county homosexualless. We can through the power that's within this word, but you ain't going to do it overnight. And some of us ain't got the tenacity to hang out for an extra hour on Thursday night. You ain't ever going to get alcohol out of your town. So I look at this, and here's what I've come to tell us. We can teach things as a doctrine and still be sinful. There are people that can preach you under conviction and leave that place and go somewhere else and commit sins that you wouldn't think of. I've sat under preaching that made me feel less than a Christian, let alone less than a minister. And then I find out that they've got a girlfriend or two right in the congregation, and they also have a wife. We all know what the Bible says about adultery. But can I tell you the problem is that anybody can teach what they've learned, but we will always produce what we are. I said it last night, but I'll say it again. We can talk about the power of Pentecost, but if we've got quiet little dead church mouth churches, it's because we've learned to regurgitate it, but we've never experienced the fullness of it ourselves. I don't know about anybody else, but I look at this, and here's what I've come to understand. It's not just the ability to teach, but it's those that have got to the point that they feel as long as they wear the right clothes, then I'm holy. But I've come to tell you, you can dress up an alcoholic. You can shave his face. You can bring him in here and teach him to say a few scriptures and make somebody in that room feel like they ought to shout, but that don't mean he's saved. You can have the best clothes on and be more modest than anybody, but that doesn't make you somebody that is absent of sin. What are you saying? I've come to tell you, it's possible to wear the right clothes and still be full of carnality and iniquity. It is possible to eat healthy foods and not get the full benefit because of how, where, and when it was grown. I don't want to be somebody that's munching on something that is doing my best to deny myself of something else so I can get the benefit just to find out that what I'm doing is senseless, is useless, it has no nourishment. Can I tell you that's what the Bible meant when it said we'd had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof? From such turn away. Why are we wasting our time to look holy if we don't share in the promise and the benefit and the power of being holy? Somebody that wants to have the experience and the fullness, put a hand in the air and say, Lord, make me holy. Make me holy. God, I can only be holy by the grace of God. The roots of holiness come before the fruits. The roots before the fruit. Somebody say that with me. Root before fruit. Some of y'all are bored. Go ahead and say that. Some of y'all are bored. Come on, help me out. Some of y'all are bored. But I'm not. Hope you didn't just lie. The root comes before the fruit. We have to have the transformation of our mind before there is a transformation of our outward appearance. We teach many times with doctrine the modesty of clothing. It should be. It's been taught this week during Straight Talk. Thank God for modesty. I shouldn't have to turn my head when I pray for you, young ladies. I shouldn't have to close my eyes when I'm standing up above you to pray for you. I shouldn't have to turn my eyes when you're sitting on the front row with your legs crossed. It's modesty. Spend a lot of time there, but that's not what I'm preaching tonight. Here's what I've come to tell you. The doctrine that we teach and the clothes that we wear are just the effects of being holy. Don't let it be a result of being forced to bloom too early, producing something that looks right but has no nutritional value. There are so many that know how to put on the attire. But if all you've learned to do is put on the attire, you can take it back off. But what gets down on the inside of you and becomes a part of your moral integrity and your character, it won't matter who's around. If it's just you and God, there are certain things that you're going to guard yourself. You're going to make sure things are right. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to tell you what I got a problem with. Individuals that are speaking in tongues but can't quit cussing. Can I tell you, the root comes before the fruit. I've got problems with people that can't help but shout and take over a service, but they can't handle any sound doctrine because they are somebody that has not yet been born again. They just want the blessing. They just want the shout. They just want the enjoyment. But young men and young ladies, all it is surface. It doesn't ever change them. It never makes them want to walk on a righteous path. And it is a road that is leading my generation to hellfire and destruction. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a pretender. I don't want to look right but not possess the goods. I want to have the raw, all natural power that I didn't learn from somebody else, but I got it at the feet of Jesus. I said I got it listening to his word. I got it because I've got my own relationship with God. God, give us a people that desire holiness.
Can't seem without being holy. Moody said, how many like D.L. Moody? We'll get at least five or six pastors on board with me right here. D.L. Moody said, it's better to live a holy life than to talk about it. He went on to say, lighthouses do not ring bells or fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Can I say that again? He said, hey, lighthouses don't fire cannons and they don't ring bells to say, hey, look at me. I'm a lighthouse. Do you know how many holiness people that every time they get up, the only thing they know to preach is I'm holy, I'm hard, I'm better than the world, I'm this. Can I tell you, holiness is not haughtiness. Holiness is not higher than anybody. Holiness is the cleanest, most pure, clean way of life, and it is a privilege to live it, to understand it, and to enjoy it. God, give us a generation that doesn't have to tell everybody I'm a Christian, that it doesn't take the fish on your car and it doesn't take the added license plate, but it just takes your presence that has just come out of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. When Moses came down off this mountain, he broke that first set of tables, had to go back up, and for 40 days and for 40 nights he spent his time without eating, without drinking, in the presence of Almighty God. And when he came back down off that mountain, he had in his possession a new set of tablets with the commandments that we live by, that ought to still be in our courthouses and in our schoolrooms. He came down off that mountain, but what was noticeable was that his face shone with such a glory that people said, you gotta cover it up, it's too bright. You won't have to tell anybody if you come off the mountain having been with Jesus. You won't have to tell everybody who you are, what you stand for. Can I tell somebody? Let them say we went too far. Let them say you went overboard. Let them say and talk about truth camp, but don't let them deny we've been in the Spirit of God. We've been in his presence. We've experienced his power, and it's made us holy. I'm about done preaching. Holiness comes with special effects and promises. Holiness, to be holy is to be naturally beautiful.
young ladies, please look at this preacher. I understand that the world has put a lot upon you to be attractive to the opposite sex. And they have poured you into molds you should have never had to be poured into. Here's what I've come to tell you. The Bible declares in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and also declares in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But it says this, give an offering or give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Can I say this again without my opinion? Holiness on you as young ladies is simply this. No additives. No preservatives. Just raw. All natural. And it's quiet. Do you want to be holy? Let me ask a better question. Do you want to see God? Then God said, the way I made you was best. I don't care what the world says about you. The most beautiful woman in the world, the most pretty, beautiful you'll ever be, is all natural. No additives, no preservatives. Nothing has to be added to make a young lady beautiful. What makes her beautiful? Worshiping. I know that some people get worried and they're worried about tearing up and worried about making faces in his presence. But can I tell you, I've done got to the point, it doesn't matter to me. The Bible says beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel. So it doesn't matter to me what I look like or what kind of scrunchy face I make, because I'm not trying to be attractive to you. I'm trying to let God know how sincere I feel when I walk into his presence and know that I'm undeserving. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is for somebody that they let the tears begin to flow. Can I tell you, I've seen some beautiful young ladies right up around this altar, and no, their hair wasn't perfect anymore. Their dress may have been a little wrinkled. Their skirt may have been turned a little to the side, and the tears may have marred just the beauty of their face, but there's nothing any more beautiful to God than we stand in spirit and in truth, and we lift up holy hands and begin to worship the Lord. To be holy is to be beautiful. I find that holiness qualifies us for special promises. The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, having therefore these promises. What promises? These. Somebody said, which ones? All of them. How many want these promises? Just quoted one, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'd like to claim that promise in the middle of the night. I'll take that promise. I'd like to take the promise that Brother Tom was preaching about the other morning, and knowing that my heel will always be on the foot and of the head of the devil, knowing that I've got power and authority, that he'll make me the head and not the tail, that I'll be above only and not beneath. Hallelujah. It says, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It's not just your flesh that needs to be modified, but when you come to God, he wants to give you a new spirit. That's what set Caleb apart, is that he had a different spirit. He was of a different mindset. To cleanse yourself from the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I know that all of us would no doubt raise a hand and say, I'm not perfected yet. I'm not perfect. He's still working on me. But you and I should be endeavoring in our holy life to be perfecting holiness. God perfected in me here. Perfected in me when I get home. What is perfecting? What's it mean to perfect it? I believe it means that you're still growing and you're waiting to bloom. I can
say, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm a lot different than what I was, and God's growing me. But when I bloom, hallelujah, nobody likes the old caterpillar. Nobody likes it when they litter all of our porches and our sidewalks. We'll flick them off. We'll kick them away. But everybody admires the butterfly. Can I tell some of you, those lives that we admire in this room, they didn't start out that way. They didn't start out that way. They used to be downright ugly. Downright ugly and despicable and sometimes right down hateful and mean. But God took them from what they was and they stepped in to perfecting this holy life. And God has caused them to bloom into something that they could never be had it not been for a God that continues to perfect his own. God help us to perfect this holy life. To be holy is to be clean. I need my helpers to get ready. To be clean and holy is what qualifies us for a special path. I've had it said to me and rehearsed over and over, you holiness people, straight is the way, narrow is the gate. Must be a rough life. At least I've got a broad way to walk on. Few there be that find it. It may be few that find it, but for those that find it, also find that Isaiah said this about it, and an highway shall be there. Once you get through the gate, there's a highway to walk on. Now they're coming, but I want you to hear me. A highway and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Now listen to me, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Now, I'm going to finish reading that, but what I've come to tell you that's wonderful about being a holy man and a holy woman is that you and I, when we get purified through holiness, we find that the devil is still out there to get us. He is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He comes in many different forms. The devil isn't always ugly and mean. He isn't always scary and some nasty picture. Sometimes it comes in the form of something that is fleshly and beautiful. But I've come to declare to you young people, when you step into holiness, you have been purified and qualified to walk on a road and a pathway that though the devil reaches for you, a hair on your head cannot be touched without the permission of God. And wherever the highway leads you, it may lead you into the depths of depravity. It may lead you into the highways and the byways. But when you're walking on a path of holiness, it doesn't matter though the devil is reaching. And I've come to tell you, he's reaching right now while I'm preaching. But though he's reaching, some of us have found our footing, sure, on a place of holiness, and we ain't gotta be worried about the adversary that is in our path, living in our home and living in places that we've got to abide in. As long as we stay on the highway, we can resist the devil and he has got to flee. Oh, somebody needs to understand that that's why I want to be holy. I don't want man's holiness. I don't want women's approval. I want God to grant me with an all-natural power, with an all-natural, raw, organic purity that I didn't learn in a back room or in a denomination, but I learned it from the good old word of Almighty God. God give us a holy people. Stand with me all over the building. I know some of you are sitting down. I'm done. The Holy Ghost stands at the ramp of the highway. You know what he's looking for, young people? Can I tell you, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to destruction and to the flesh, it's a completely different result if you've been sowing to the Spirit. Now, how many understand what I preached tonight? That you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if there's any desire that we ought to have, it's not just to be known in this world. I have no desire to have my name up in lights for any youth camp. Man, it's a humbling feeling every time I've stepped on these grounds and I look at good men like Brother Don Goodwin, Brother Tom Goodwin, Brother Benny Torbett, Brother Michael Tom. And I stand up here on Thursday night and they stand around me. And I've told it all over this nation. There's been times that I've stood there and held back tears and wept because I knew that I was the least deserving on that platform to take the mic. It doesn't make me proud. It doesn't make me haughty. But I didn't come here to find the approval of a board. I didn't come here just to hope to get my name thrown back in the pot. I came here because there's somebody that is my paymaster. Somebody that is my closest friend. And what he requires, more than just me looking right, more than me being acceptable to you, more than me being a good preacher, he wants me to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Holy Ghost stands at the gate of the entryway. As people try to come in, you know what he's looking for? He's not looking for you to say, I go to Beach Creek. That's where I attend church. I'm a worship leader. Brother Dustin, he's not looking for you to say, I sing all the songs. People got saved while I sung. There are people that will have sung about the power of God that have never truly experienced the cleansing of it. And they'll stand there, ask to come in, and say, I don't know you. You know what he's looking for? Holiness. The absence of sin. Brother Andrew, take off that mask. Come here, Brother Royal. Help me out. I think that's Brother Royal. I forgot who's underneath there. Go ahead and take that off. I want you guys to help me out. Brother Tom did some wonderful preaching this morning. He inspired me. This morning, I'm not going to rub mud on you. Man, I wish I had come up with that thought. The only thing that upset me about that sermon is that I wasn't preaching it. I want you to grab a bowl apiece, both of you. This represents something. It's not going to be preserved. You can take a part of it home if it's digested inside of you. But this isn't something that's going to keep and preserve you tomorrow. It's something you're going to have to pick fresh. Can I tell you what we've had here? The holiness, the power, and the presence of the Lord. Young people, it's not meant to be bottled up and preserved for generations to come. There's plenty of where that came from. As long as you're walking on this highway of holiness, you'll find that there is someone that will always, doesn't matter if you're fresh and you're new. Here's something I've come to tell you. There's sometimes we look at certain people and they walk down to an altar. They may not be dressed right. They may not look right. They may look like a woman of ill repute. But when they get down to that altar and they cry their way through to victory, you know what God revealed to me, Brother Byerly, and this is no great revelation, but there's been so many times, I know because of modesty, we carry something up, maybe cover them up, try to just bring a little bit of modesty to the room. But that blanket or that covering or that coat that we put over them didn't make them any more holy. It's the fact that when they got up from that altar, they left all their sins underneath the cross. They had enough blood to wash away every stain. Tonight I've come to tell you as young people, it's not going to be your looking the part that keeps you right, that makes you somebody in the eyes of God. It's going to be the fact that on the inside, Jesus is working, changing you on the outside. You ought to be a mirrored reflection on the outside of what's deep down on the inside. It's no good to look clean on the outside, young men, if deep down is dirty and dark. Young ladies, it's no good to look good on the outside and dress modest. I've seen some of the longest haired girls with the longest of skirts. I used to be a pretty good looking young man. I was younger and thinner anyway. And I found, being a young man, sometimes they were more promiscuous, sometimes even than the girls that weren't dressed as modest. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside if the inside ain't got the goods. What I've come to preach to us on this last night, it's not flashy. It's not something that's going to make you shout, but it's something that'll take you to heaven. You got to be holy because that's what He is. So tonight, I'm going to give this altar call this way as somebody comes to the piano as they help us out tonight. I'm sorry I didn't give you a better notice. But as they come and heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment while they're preparing a song, God, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for what You have done in this youth camp. God, I feel so privileged to stand here. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to carry Your word. Lord, that You have birthed this in my heart all week long, that we must be a holy people because we represent a holy God. God, it's not just what people see, but it's what You see that's far beyond. Knowing that You don't look on the things that men look at. You don't look on the appearances, but God, You see the heart. The heart is what dictates and transforms the life. I pray tonight, God, that every heart that is seen here tonight, they will be holy and clean. That You'll purify them. God, if there are those that have just given in to the peer pressure of being at camp and they've done things because they know it's appropriate, they know it's right. God, I pray that tonight that You would move in such a way that they wouldn't want to do it to fit in, but they'd want to do it to please You. I ask, God, that You'd give us a holy generation that have integrity, God, that have power and character, that walk in godliness. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before you come and pray, I want to tell you this one story. We're getting ready to give this altar call in a unique way. I listened tonight as they were talking about different ones being filled with the Holy Ghost and saved. Some of you have heard and know Brother Kenny Morris. He was there the night. I've heard him told this story at least twice. They've been preaching about the Holy Ghost and the power of Pentecost, and there was people all through the church that had gotten full of the evidence and full of the power of the Holy Ghost. There was one little deaf girl that she came to church there. She signed with her hands and communicated. She said she wanted the Holy Ghost. It scared half the church to death because she was deaf and dumb. How's she going to get the Holy Ghost? She don't know what it sounds like. She's never heard it. Somewhere about halfway through that revival, that little deaf girl standing up at the altar right in front of the pulpit uttering incoherent words that nobody completely understood, as tears began to run down her face, all of a sudden, power of God fell on her. Most beautiful language started coming out of her mouth. The Holy Ghost filled her up. She began to speak in tongues as God gave the evidence, the utterance of God's holy language. Can I tell you, if God can fill a deaf girl that's never heard it, God can take some of your lives that maybe may not understand all of it yet. God can clean you up, make you holy, walk you through life, make you a holy individual. I don't know about anybody else. I'm not patterning my life after any man. I've got those that I look up to. But I don't want to be like any one certain individual. There's one man that walked this earth that I've never laid my eyes on, but I've read the description of him over and over and over. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. I'm asking you tonight, let's do this altar call this way. I'm going to ask Brother Tom, is he here tonight? Brother Don Goodwin, Brother Benny Torbett. Brother Tom Goodwin, if you don't have to run the board, come up. If you have to stay there, I understand. I'd like for some of these good men. Brother Byerly, come up here. I want you to get ready because These things are something we can take a vine, we can spread them out. Something that is beautiful, it's all natural. Can I tell you, holiness is beautiful, it's natural, it's not forced. Brother Byerly, what you have taught this week, it's not anything that ought to be forced. It ought to just come natural. Those that have tended gardens, there's nothing more beautiful than watching it slowly begin to bloom. There's lives that's in this room God's been working on. Man, you've come a long way. Come here, Brother Tom Goodwin, if you don't mind, come to this side. These men are just going to give these to you, and you can do as you wish. I know that we're in church, and sometimes it doesn't feel real proper to grab something and just eat it, put it in your mouth. They've been washed. It also sometimes don't feel real proper to grab mud and rub it on your face. But can I tell you, there's a spiritual application here. I want something that's all natural. I don't want to speak in tongues like anybody else. I don't want to have to preach just like other people. Man, there's men that I crave that anointing, and I wish I could do as they do, but I just want to be what God wants to make me. Some of you young ladies no doubt have individuals that you look at and you say, God, make me a woman like that. Some of you young men, God, make me a man like that. But God's got an organic, all natural way of creating in you a special, unique person that's going to leave an imprint and an effect on this world. If you're hungry for that, I'm asking you to step out of that pew right now and ask God, Lord, make me holy. God, I'm not looking to just be somebody that's accepted. God, I want to be holy. Make me holy. God, I know that it's holiness that you require. God, it's holiness that you require. God, I want all natural holiness. You men got to wait out in the crowd so some of them can grab it. It's fine. Whatever you got to do. This, you don't have to have a grape to be holy. You just got to have a desire, a hunger that says, God, make me like you. Make me like you. Come on, young people. Come on. You say, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. You got to be made holy first. You got to be cleansed from your sin. It's natural. It's returning things to the natural order. It's restoring order to the chaos of life. God wants a holy people. Come on, let's pray it through. I want it clean on the inside. Give me pure desires. Give me righteous motives. God, I gotta go to heaven. And the only way I can make it is I've gotta be holy. God, I've gotta be holy.
I wanna be a vessel. You work through.
Come on, young people. Come on, young people. Press in, press in. Pray, call on the name of God. Make me holy. God, I've got to be holy. God, through the power of the blood of your Son.
Jesus,
through the victory that was won on Calvary. Through the glorious resurrection. Make me holy. Make me holy.
I want to be a vessel.